The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. This is Newsound.com. Today is Thursday, October 2, 2022. The president of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, stated that the U.S. blockade policy against his country is entrenched in time. He endorsed the words pronounced the day before by Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez when he told the accredited press that the Caribbean island changes every day and will continue to change. "Cuba renews itself all the time," said the head of Cuban diplomacy when presenting the report on the impact of the U.S. economic, commercial, and financial blockade against the Caribbean nation. Between August 2021 and February 2022 alone, this unilateral policy caused losses of some $3,806.5 million to the Cuban people and government. He highlighted in his speech that the current U.S. administration maintains the 243 measures applied by former President Donald Trump to further tighten the blockade, including the inclusion of Cuba on the list of nations allegedly sponsoring terrorism, which hinders the development of the largest of the Antilles. The Cuban Ministry of Culture called for a tweet this Thursday starting at 10 local time in homage to the 154th anniversary of the first time the Bayamo anthem was sung. The event converted into the Day of Cuban Culture. The event converted into the Day of Cuban Culture recalls that the lyrics of that march to combat on October 20, 1868, written by the patriot Perucho Figueredo, later became the national anthem. The commemoration began on October 10, the 154th anniversary of the beginning of the struggles for independence on the Caribbean island, when the patriotic lawyer Carlos Manuel de Céspedes freed his slaves and took up arms against the colonial forces. The day is dedicated to the 50th anniversary of the Nueva Trova movement and was planned with a special community approach so that practitioners of the most diverse artistic manifestations are performing in the neighborhoods where local talent is exalted. According to the organizers, the main objective of the celebration is to exalt the richness of culture through recitals, exhibitions, panels, workshops that, in the midst of the recovery process after the effects of Hurricane Ian, will not lose its spiritual essence. Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez Parrilla denounced this Wednesday that the United States blockade against Cuba has a negative impact on legal emigration of citizens from the island to that country. The Minister of Foreign Affairs presented to the press accredited here the report that Cuba will present at the beginning of November before the United Nations on the subject, which reveals that only between August 2021 and February 2022, this unilateral policy caused losses for about $3,806.5 million. This will be the 30th time that the Cuban representation before the UN presents a report to demand lifting of the blockade, which on all occasions has been supported by the vast majority of the member countries of the World Forum. Likewise, when answering questions during the press conference, he pointed out that the application of the blockade impacts legal, safe, and orderly migration. And in the international agenda, we have that former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva received in Brasilia on Wednesday the support of Senator Simone Tebet, who is an essential feature in Brazil's runoff vote on October 30. As a presidential candidate of the Brazilian Democratic Movement, Tebet finished third in the first round of October 2 elections with 4.2% of the valid votes. After this result, Tebet declared her support for the leader of the Workers' Party, stating that she does not represent risks for democracy, unlike Bolsonaro. According to Brazil de Fato website, three of Tebet's proposals have been included in the program of a future Lula government. as none of the candidates for Brazil's presidency achieved an absolute majority of votes in this first round, that is more than half of the valid votes, excluding blank and null votes, both politicians will compete in the runoff vote on the last Sunday of October. Meanwhile, the government of Honduras, headed by President Xiomara Castro, will deliver food boxes in November to families in extreme poverty. It was announced in Tegucigalpa. For this purpose, the Honduran executive approved an investment of over $1 million, which will serve to address extreme poverty in more than 2,000 villages nationwide, local media reported. According to Canal 8, associated with the government, Banasupro Enterprise signed a new interinstitutional agreement with the Solidarity Program Network to prepare the donation. According to data from the National Institute of Statistics of Honduras, 73% of the country's population is poor, while 53% live in extreme poverty. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.